What's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Power Rankings, guys. Power Ranking anything and everything Survivor Michigan. I'm Paul. As always, I'm here with Joe.
Hi, everybody.
And we are quickly approaching finale night.
I cannot believe that.
I can't believe it either.
I feel like this season has been, like, started, like, years ago, gone by very quick. So my concept of time has just been completely misconstrued this whole time. But the finale's next week.
I can't believe it. It feels like there's been so much Survivor content, but also like it's gone by so fast.
Mm-hmm.
Like this season has had so much of everything, but then also it's just been packed into like one little, remember when we were talking about Adam? Remember Adam?
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I know. Remember
I almost how much had to think about him for a second. I was like, wait, Adam.
I know. Remember how much we loved Camilla, who didn't even make the jury?
Oh, Camilla.
I know.
Wow.
I know. And here ride. We are. What a ride it has been.
I don't know if this is a hot take. Maybe I should wait until after the season is over, but this might be my favorite season.
Wow. Okay. Interesting. This has been a really great season.
It really has.
I'm absolutely with you.
Now, again, I should probably wait to see how it ends.
Sure.
But it's just been so...
Yeah, when Kat wins 9-0 in Final Tribal Council, you're going to have to rethink that.
Yeah, maybe we should... And then I'll wait. But no, I don't know. I think it's just been very entertaining. I think... Now, Survivor Michigan as a franchise is just, like, next level.
Always.
But yeah, I mean, maybe I'll hold my judgment until it's over. But I don't know. I think it's just been so good. Just as we've said every week, like the edit has been great, the storytelling has been great, a lot of great characters. I feel like there's so many people from the season that I want to see in a future season.
Yeah.
Now again, a little bit of that could be like recency bias, but I don't know. I think it's just really been such a roller coaster, but like a fun roller coaster.
Yes.
That I want to get off of.
I totally agree. I think this cast has been one of the great Survivor casts across College Survivor. So many interesting people, so many interesting weeks, so much good gameplay, so much bad gameplay, so much just, I mean, like you said, the edit, we can't say enough.
No.
It's been, I mean, everybody is talking about it. It's all a buzz on Survivor Twitter. The edit of this season has been just beyond. And it's just been a great experience. This is definitely a season I would show somebody if I wanted to get them into College Survivor.
I feel the same way. I think, it just, because you get, you know, obviously it's the game of Survivor that's happening. And as we've mentioned before in previous podcasts, like you're seeing people living their lives and also going to college. So it really just hits every aspect of that, like really, really well. So I totally agree with you there.
Yeah. So it's been so good. And now we are going to crown a winner. One of these five people is going to win this season.
Wow.
And still don't know who it's going to be at all.
I have a couple ideas, but I will be very interested to see. I mean, it is up in the air for a lot of people, which is good. And we'll get into that with our rankings for sure. But one person who we know it's not going to be.
Oh,
which I mean, we have to talk about it.
Yes,
is our guy Jackson.
Oh man, oh my gosh, what a boot for Jackson!
What a boot, 100%. Where to even begin? I mean, but again, immediately at it of who I would like to see play again.
Immediately,
probably top 3 to 5,
but yeah,
maybe we could
definitely
cover
top
that
five,
in a future
baby,
episode.
For sure.
Yeah,
what and like the perfect villain, like just the absolute perfect villain. He's like handsome and charming and cocky and kind of snaky, and he screwed over Megan, the darling of the season. Like, just the absolute perfect villain arc. Seeing him get voted out was, on one hand, like, from a story perspective, so satisfying. Like, yeah. It was like, right. But then from a survivor perspective, it's like, no, he's so good. I love him so much. But man, seeing him walk away, and like, it was peak television.
Yeah, peak it really television. Was. Especially because he was just like totally blindsided, and it was just like, just everything that happened to lead up to that vote, which again, I'm sure we'll get into as we get into our rankings. But, and I do, you mentioned Megan, I will say, I still believe that him cutting Megan was a mistake. I think
you said that.
I think that changed the course of his game, because he really lost someone.
Mm-hmm.
I think if he would have treated the situation better, because mm-hmm. he kind of just like cast her aside after a vote or something. I forget exactly what happened, but I think if he would have held on to that a little bit longer, I think he was in a little bit better spot.
Mm-hmm.
I had to throw that out there.
Yes. We were on top of that. We said during that podcast that we thought it was a bad move for both Jackson and Ivy, and look what happened.
Yeah.
1-2 right after Megan, right. Ivy and Jackson.
That's a great point. Yeah. And I think, and I know we said last week too, like kind of in our rankings, that it was kind of like at that point, like it's kind of like Dale's to lose,
mm-hmm.
but then also it was like Shannon or Jackson need to make a move here
mm-hmm.
to propel their game. And they both tried to do that, which was great to see, but it ended up being kind of Shannon that won out
mm-hmm.
Between the two of them. So just a crazy, yeah, like you said, it was like fun to see that play out, and like what a blindside, but then also like the fan in us of Jackson
mm-hmm.
seeing him go was really sad.
Yes.
To see. So just a mix of emotions as always with Survivor Michigan.
You definitely, like, I feel like you gotta have Jackson back. If there's any way to 100%. Get him back on the screen, any version
mm-hmm.
where he can be involved in what goes on, I feel like he's just a top-tier character
mm-hmm.
across franchises.
Yeah, 100%.
And maybe that's a big part of what's made this season so great, is there's a number of people here who I would consider top tier characters, who
oh,
I have
sure.
just loved having on my screen.
Yeah, I know. You could do like a battle of the seasons and have like five or six mm-hmm. of these people come back in their own, you know, in their own tribes.
Yeah.
If there's a, you know, a returning season on the horizon, I really hope we see a lot of season four people.
Absolutely. Yeah. So good. And still with a finale to go that we know is going to provide us even more twists and turns mm-hmm. and who knows what else. I mean, I cannot wait.
Yeah. Me too.
So, speaking of that, one final power ranking.
Wow.
I know.
The last one. This is sad. The
last power ranking of season four. It is sad. This has by far been our most topsy-turvy power rankings thus far.
Oh, I know. Yeah. And that's what's made it so fun, too, is like, especially mm-hmm. in the beginning. I mean, we had no idea what we were doing.
But we had no idea who was up, who was down.
Right.
What was where. Yeah. So, but everything we've done has brought us to this place. We started with a top five, and now we are back again with a top five players.
Yep, full circle moment.
Yep, so without any further ado, I suppose we should not prolong the inevitable. let's start with number five.
I have Kat.
Yes, me too.
Okay.
For all the reasons that we have mentioned on the previous podcasts. Yes. It does seem like, and maybe this is just me looking for it, but it does seem like Kat is a little bit more engaged in the game than she had been.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, I mean, you have to like put in to perspective how much time
yes
has gone on. So mm-hmm. like, even though she's kind of been on the fringe of like really playing aggressively, like she's mm-hmm. still been playing this game for an entire semester. So it's yes. like, and again, like I think I mentioned a couple episodes ago, like I'm pretty sure she ends up on production at some point. So like, that's really cool. And then also like maybe this sort of like grows into her becoming a fan of like the real show or yeah. other iterations of it. So
that'd be great.
You know, and I think and honestly you kind of need like characters like Kat.
Yeah, absolutely.
On a season. And I think you know, she's sort of like hitched her wagon to Shannon mm-hmm. and is basically gonna just do whatever Shannon wants to do, which yeah. is you know, great for Shannon. And
yeah.
I mean, you know, top five, however you get there, is pretty good. So the absolutely. Fact that Kat is still in the game and honestly has a chance to probably make it another round or two mm-hmm. at least, like, you know, that's we got to give her a little credit for that.
And if she's just here for the evolution of Shannon and Kat, like in the evolution of their relationship from day one to now, like that's a great storyline.
100%. I'm glad you brought that up.
Like a lot of people play Survivor and never have like a good storyline or a good story arc. And Kat has a great story arc of this relationship with her and Shannon evolving from, you know, all this contention to mm-hmm. now they are inseparable.
Yeah. I love that scene from this last episode, right? Where they were like, I think they were in like the bath ever.
Yes.
Shannon was like, if I go, which is so funny. But she was like, if I go, like, I'm voting for you to win. Like, just, I don't know. Yeah, like,
it was really saw nice. That coming?
It really was. I was like, this is so, just from how it started and just, like, Shannon just, like, not liking Kat at all to this moment. Like, it's just, again, I think it's, like, the beauty of Survivor. Mm-hmm. We talked about this off the podcast. Like, bringing together people that you probably would have never met.
Mm-hmm.
And then even having your perspective of someone change by the end is just really cool to see. So yeah, if Kat was meant to be on the season to give us that kind of a story arc, then that's been awesome to watch.
Totally agree. And it, you know what, even that I'm glad you brought up that scene because it made me like Kat. Like I was yeah, watching it yeah. thinking, you know what, this makes me this like I get like I think I get Kat a lot better now.
Mm-hmm.
And like it's made me a lot more fond of her. So yeah, so maybe on a rewatch, who knows, I'll be a Kat stan.
Yeah,
but as it stands now, like we said, she really can't win the game. There's right. really no way that happens. And so what we're left with is this really interesting story.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're grateful for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, in number four.
So I have Nate.
I do too.
Okay. You go first. Why Nate at four?
Because I also think Nate can't win.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way he could win is in a final two with Kat. However, there was some talk this week about Nate being a jury threat that I wanted to address.
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up.
I think there is some prevailing thought that the El Norte people, if Nate was there, would vote on that El Norte loyalty. And then if he picked up Ivy, that's four votes,
mm-hmm.
which I think is really interesting. I don't know that I buy that.
Yeah.
Because I don't think I buy Jack voting just on loyalty like that. I right. don't think Nate and Katie ever had any kind of relationship that would make me think that she was going to vote for him based on loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely, I don't think Megan at all would think like that. I don't, but it's interesting that that's their perception of him.
Yes, that's a great point. And it's kind of like you really never know.
Yeah.
Right? Like you can get close or try to think about how someone's going to vote as a juror or like, you know, the temperature of the room or who they might lean towards, but you really truly don't ever know. Mm-hmm. So I think it is a really interesting point. Like, oh man, you know, all the El Norte people will just vote for him. But I think you kind of said it where I don't see some of the El Norte people just sticking with their original tribe lines and voting that way. Now, again, Nate versus Kat. Yeah, he'll take it. But I think if he's in the mix with any of the other three, mm-hmm. I don't see like a tribal line vote happening with this cast. So, but it is interesting that they're bringing that up as, you know, as him being a jury threat for sure.
It was very interesting. And, you know, Nate being such a challenge threat.
Right.
I mean, it has really become such an interesting emerging story from this season of he really is, for what College Survivor is and the types of challenges we see on College Survivor, he is almost like in like a Terry Dietz spot in a way.
Wow, yeah.
You know, where all three of the people from his original tribe are the first three people on the jury, and he mm-hmm. basically would have to win out to get there. But that's the one thing about Nate's game that I would maybe give him a little bigger boost for is if he wins all the immunity challenges down the row.
Right. And takes out the right people.
Yes. I think if he wins the immunity challenges down the row, and I'm trying to think of if it's a final three scenario, is it like maybe he wants to sit with Shannon and Kat? Like maybe I know that that's not how my rankings are going to go, mm-hmm. but maybe that's a better move for him. Or maybe it's with Matthew and he can say Matthew didn't really do anything. He just kind of coasted on his reputation or whatever. I won all these challenges and I was left out of all these votes, but I fought and kept myself here, blah, 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 you know, in like a Mike Holloway sort of way.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Yeah, I was thinking a similar thing. Like, if he ends up with Matthew, I think he could have a good case.
Yeah.
You know, if he has a good final tribal speech and everything. And yeah, actually, like, if he wins the next few immunities and if he's able to take out, like, Shannon and then Dale.
Yeah, that would be a really interesting setup.
Yeah. So I don't think his odds are horrible. But no. I think with the setup of this final five, I feel like it's basically like two duos.
Mm-hmm.
Well, kind of three, but two duos and then Nate in the middle. And I feel like if he doesn't win this next immunity, he's probably gone, unfortunately.
I think so too. But he's in a very interesting spot and in a spot we don't rarely see where he is the challenge threat.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that makes me very interested in Nate's game. And again, Nate is not somebody who in my mind for an all-star season. And yet he is somebody who I would like to see how his game would evolve.
Yeah.
Because he just didn't really do a lot. He doesn't really have any moves to his name aside from, you know, he saved himself in the pre-merge, which was really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he's definitely capable. He just didn't do a lot because he just seemed like he just didn't really click with anybody in this cast.
Yeah.
So it just would be interesting to see him on a different cast with maybe people that he got along with better or had a better natural fit with. I think he could be a really, really good player in that circumstance. Yeah. So,
oh, I agree. Yeah.
I like definitely want to give Nate some kudos. Yeah,
for sure. A second chance this season, I think it would be really interesting to see him back.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
To see what he could do. And I think he'd be able to kind of learn from this experience. And like you said, kind of, you know,
mm-hmm.
evolve a little bit. So,
yeah,
I definitely agree. And he's been a great character this season, giving us a lot of good confessionals. And
definitely.
Like you said, would he normally get pegged as someone who'd be like a challenge threat? Maybe not, but I think it's cool to see someone kind of unlikely be that person. You know what I mean?
I love that.
So Sweet.
Cool. All right. And so moving on to our number three.
I have the paranoid lion himself.
Me too. Matthew.
Okay. I'm very interested in, like, I didn't expect Matthew to be this type of player this late
mm-hmm. in the game.
Mm-hmm. And I want to try to explain that because
okay.
he's basically like so in on this final two with Dale. And I'm just like, it's surprising to me. Now, again, as we talked about before, like, maybe his perception is that he thinks he can beat Dale. Like, we're seeing it as a viewer. So we're like, no,
mm-hmm.
if you go to the end with Dale, you're going to lose. So I have to like put that into perspective, but I don't know. It's just very interesting. Like, just hitching his wagon to someone that I feel like is in the best spot to win.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't, it's almost like my brain can't compute that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because we know what type of player Matthew is, and like we know he's a scenario runner and all
mm-hmm.
that. So I'm just like, it's surprising to me. He's almost like choosing loyalty over like truly wanting to win,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with him.
I've got a comparison for you, and I want you to try it on for size.
Okay.
I'm thinking Spencer Bledsoe in Second Chances in Cambodia.
Okay.
Where he's this breakout strategist character his first season. His second season, he's still beloved, but he just ends up in a scenario behind bigger players.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he himself is a big player and was a huge player in his season, he just ends up in a scenario where there's too many big players left around. I think that's where Matthew is right now.
I like that comparison, and I'm a big Spencer fan. So, me too.
Which is why I think it's apt, because I think Matthew is so rootable, and from a fan's perspective,
right.
He's just the kind of player you love to watch play Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
Great in confessional, very self-aware in the sense of like when he's on camera, when he's talking to the camera, he's so good that I think, you know, he's very lovable in that sense, but I think he's played himself into a situation where it's going to be hard to win.
Yeah.
And now, go ahead.
Oh, no, you go.
I was going to say, let me contradict myself and say, I think Matthew would be very, very good at a final tribal council.
I was just going to say the same, because, and he's mentioned that in his confessional. So yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. I think he's almost putting like too much stock into that. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. I'll beat anyone left, but I don't know if that's the case.
Yeah. I
even
don't either.
Against Shannon, I don't think he wins there. So
don't think so either. On a lot of it, I think is going to depend on what these early jurors, what their perspective of. I think Jack probably votes about any situation. Just as the returners, I think that
yeah.
I know we just came off of saying Jack won't vote on loyalty; he'll vote on the best game. But I think if Matthew's right. there, I think Jack probably votes for Matthew.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But I think there's this Katie and Megan thing. Of was Shannon playing, and we'll get to this when we talk about Shannon. Was Shannon mm-hmm. playing enough game when Katie and Megan were there for them to really firsthand say Shannon should win Survivor over Matthew?
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. But also, like with Katie, like Matthew was left out of the Aliza blindside.
Very true.
He was just kind of like there. And I don't really think Matthew had much to do with her boot. I feel like it was more Megan, honestly. But he did kind of like save Megan ish mm-hmm. that one
That's
round.
True. He did save
that
Megan.
So that could kind of curry favor with her.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think a Shannon Matthew final two would be really interesting.
Yes.
Just to see where everybody would vote. Mm-hmm. But now again, he also could have some tricks up his sleeve where maybe he's telling us that he's with Dale to the end and we see him try to cut him at 4 or 3.
Yeah.
you know, so I don't want to rule that out. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just, it's been interesting seeing him again. Like we said, we've never seen Matthew in Emerge.
Absolutely.
So it's been really cool getting to finally see that. And yeah, I'm just very interested in this, like, me and Dale final two situation when I feel like he has other options that would give him a way better shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. I think it's very interesting. And I think Matthew is the person who in this finale is the most interesting to watch. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I feel like everybody else kind of has a path, like, to whatever ending they're going to get to. Matthew, I think, has a whole bunch of different paths left and a whole bunch of different options. But does he have a winning option? Can he find a winning option? Is probably a better way to phrase that.
Right.
So I think it's interesting. Yeah. So I think he's, like, perfect in this middle number three spot.
I was just going to say the same thing. Like, yeah.
Who knows?
Right. And he made the finale.
So I'm so happy for him. Like on a person to person level, I am so happy for Matthew.
Yeah, I am too.
After what happened with season one and his exit, and then him going on to work on production and be really integral into making Survivor Michigan what it is, for him to come back as a player and be able to make a deep run is such a satisfying personal story.
Right.
That I'm so happy for him.
Yeah, I am too.
Alrighty, number two. This is interesting. I struggled with this a lot.
I didn't, but interested to hear you say that. So number two, I have Shannon.
Oh, then this is why I struggled with it, because I put Dale at number two.
Wow.
Yes. Okay.
I like this, though. Okay, who should we talk about first, Shannon?
Well, I have a crazy Dale fan fiction.
Okay. Let's hear it.
We talked last time on the podcast about how weird it is that Dale can use his idol at five if it's a final three.
Right.
I'm starting to think maybe we've got a Tony Vlachos situation on our hands.
That he's lying?
I'm starting to think maybe he can't use an idol at final five.
Oh, interesting.
And he just wants people to think that he can.
Okay, I like this fan fiction.
I think maybe, and this is all totally in my own mind.
Yeah.
I think drunk Dale maybe wasn't as drunk as he was playing in the game when he was telling people about, I have two idols, I have this, that, and the other, blah, blah, blah. I think maybe drunk Dale was playing a little Sly Fox game.
I like this.
I think so.
And if we had some sort of, like, fact checker intern that we could say to
we
go
do
back.
Need an intern. We really do. I think by next season we're gonna need to apply for that.
Yeah,
isn't there some kind of, like, small business loan we can get or something with, like, through the pandemic relief that we can buy an intern, some sort of funds available / we'll look into it.
Yeah,
well,
review with our three bosses.
our we'll, supervisor's review.
We'll bring that up. But I love that. But yeah, I mean, we've been confused about this for a couple weeks. And
yes,
it could just be on part that we missed. Because I'm even trying to think. I feel like I've heard in different iterations of Survivor, idols being last time you use them is at six. Last time you can use them is at five. So I think that's why I'm confused.
Mm-hmm.
Or we're both confused. But I like that fan fiction. I think that would be... that would be an amazing story.
It would be amazing.
But to do that.
Even if my fan fiction is just fiction, I don't know how Dale survives the final four outside of winning immunity. I cannot foresee a situation, no matter what the combination is, even if Matthew is playing whatever game, I don't see Dale surviving the final four unless he wins that immunity.
See, I feel like he has the chance of at least doing a tiebreaker. Now, it depends on... it honestly depends on immunity. It really depends on if Nate wins immunity or not. I feel like if if Nate doesn't win immunity, I think he's 100% gone in fifth place.
At five? Yeah.
Yes.
I agree with that.
And then we have the two duos, and then it's like, you know, Dale and Matt. And then again, who wins immunity at Final Four? But I think if Dale and Shannon are both available to be voted for, Dale and Matthew are voting for Shannon. Shannon and Kat are voting for Dale. And then we're going to see this epic Wolverine war against the two of them. And basically, whoever wins, wins the game.
I'm just not that sold that Matthew... I don't think Matthew is going to look at an opportunity to be in the final three with Shannon and Kat and say, no, I want to sit next to Dale instead.
Well, that's... I mean, we're hearing...
I know what we're seeing. I know what we're hearing in confessional. Everything we're seeing points us towards that. But I just have an incredibly difficult time believing that if those four are at the final four and Shannon and Kat are saying we're voting for Dale, that Matthew is going he's going to allow Dale to win a tiebreaker at four and go into the final three, having just won his way there in a tiebreaker.
I know.
Matthew Israel is going to do that.
But I don't know.
TBD. I can't buy it. I don't buy it at all. I just can't see that happening.
Yeah.
Because now, to your point, the reason that I struggle with this so much is if Dale's there, he wins.
Right.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. I mean, unless you want to, you know, think of another scenario where Dale, some version where Dale doesn't win, but I don't see it.
Meaning the final four
tiebreaker? No. I mean, if Dale sits at the final three with any two people, he wins.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I agree with that. And that's why I have him at number one.
And that makes total sense to me.
Yeah. It's really going to be, like I said, the final five immunity is going to, again, it really just lies on Nate. If Nate doesn't win, he's gone. So it's like, if he wins, that really makes things interesting. And it'll basically be whoever is able to pull Nate in, which I kind of would want to see him win immunity there just to see where he would vote.
Oh, yeah, that would be so good.
Because it's like, I know, like, and now we did hear Shannon tell Kat to work with Nate if Shannon went last week. But yeah, it would be really interesting to see who Nate would vote with, because he's the swing vote.
Yes.
Because again, the girl, now to further complicate things, Dale's idol that we're going to just assume he can use.
Yes.
I mean, obviously Shannon's best bet if Nate wins immunity is to take out Matthew, because then you're taking out Dale's like alliance. And then, and I feel like Nate would have no problem voting for Matthew. Mm-hmm. So this has just turned into running every scenario we can think of. But I think if Nate wins immunity, Matthew's gone. And I think if Nate doesn't win immunity, he's gone.
Yes.
That final five immunity is going to be very, very telling.
This is going to be a great finale.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the last person in the room, number one and a half. Shannon.
Yeah. So I have her at number two, and again, I think now she gets major props for helping take Jackson out.
Yes.
I think, like we said last week, like it was kind of like Jackson versus Shannon situation, and Shannon won out, which is awesome. Yes. I think her story arc this season, I feel like Dale's been very like entertaining. Now Shannon's been very entertaining as well, but I feel like Shannon's just overall story arc has just been so, there's like 1,000 words you could use for it. They're so interesting. And I feel like if she, again, it's kind of like if she's able to take out Dale at four, in whatever capacity that is, if Nate wins immunity at five and then they take out Dale doesn't win immunity at four and the other three just vote him out, then she wins. If Nate goes, and then somehow she's in a tiebreaker challenge against Dale,
mm-hmm.
and wins that. She wins.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think it's really just, I mean, I think her and Dale are in pretty similar situations, and like, now we could also see, this would be crazy, but Dale and Shannon in the final two somehow. I don't know. Let's throw that out there.
I, at this point, can't conceive of a scenario outside of the final four tiebreaker where Shannon doesn't make the final three.
Yeah, okay.
That's the only, yeah, in the Doctor Strange looking at all the possible universes version, that's the only one I can conceive of where Shannon doesn't sit in the final three is,
mm-hmm,
Nate goes at five, two versus two at final four.
Yeah.
Because I agree. I think if Nate wins immunity, I don't think it's Shannon anyway.
Right.
I think it's Matthew. Unless there's some weirdness with the idol. Dale plays the idol on Matthew. Something crazy happens like that. That's about it.
Yeah.
If Shannon can find a way to get Dale out, I think she's got the votes. Because I think Jackson, yeah, is the kind of player who will respect her game. And I think Dale is too. The kind of player who will respect her game enough to give her the votes.
Oh yeah, I could definitely see. I think Dale and Shannon's relationship this season has been really, yes, cool to watch. And I think,
agreed,
like, even Shannon versus Matthew, Dale votes for 100%.
I totally agree. Totally agree. And I think, you know, I look at that scenario. I think the Dale versus Shannon scenario, like, I don't know how it happens, but I, mm-hmm, super hope it happens.
Yeah.
Because I think it's just insane.
Right.
I think it would just be absolute sheer insanity. And I don't, like, I'm looking at juror names right now specifically and trying to, like, I have no idea. I have no read on how that would go.
Right. And I think that's what would be cool to see with the two of them in the end. It's like the two front runners in our eyes,
mm-hmm,
battling it out. Like, I would love to see how that plays out and,
yeah,
who would win between the two of them.
You almost never see it, and it would be such, oh my gosh. Yeah. I think there's so, like, any scenario of this final, I think, is fascinating. And I, yeah, don't think I have, because we've talked about how I think Dale wins in every combination, and I do think that that's true. If he's there, he wins. But I'm not 100% sure. I don't, yeah, feel the same way like I felt about Dylan, for sure. Like,
right,
at all.
Right.
And even some of the other College Survivors was like, oh, okay, they made it to the finals, it's over. Mm-hmm. Like, I think Dale wins, but, like, Dale, Shannon, Matthew, with Nate and Kat both on the jury, I mean, Nate, Kat, and Ivy all on the jury. I mean, do Nate, Kat, and Ivy automatically vote for Shannon? And then she's just got to get Katie or Megan? Or she, right, needs Jack to vote for Matthew and Jackson to vote for Dale and some version of that?
Right.
I mean, it's possible.
Yeah.
It's on the board.
And I like that there's so many different scenarios, and literally four out of the final five, you know, Dale, Shannon, Matthew, and Nate technically all have a path,
yes,
to win.
Yes, they do,
if the right things line up.
And how often in any franchise of Survivor can you look at the final five and say four of these people we have already talked about their winning game?
Right.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I mean, right.
What a season.
Crazy. I know.
What a season. I think, you know, and again, who knows? All of these people have done unpredictable things before. We have seen crazy things happen. We've seen twists. We've seen turns. We've seen all sorts of stuff. Who knows?
I know.
We've done our best. Now all we can do is wait and see.
Yeah, it's going to be, I'm clearing my schedule that Wednesday. I'm not doing anything because,
yes,
I want to watch live. because I don't want to see any spoilers on Twitter.
Yes.
So yeah, it's really gonna be. There really isn't a. I mean, I don't want to say this, but there really isn't like a bad outcome.
No, I agree. I
knowing
totally agree.
Like each person's path to the end. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's also something that you don't often see a lot at this point is like, yeah, we have a couple people that like are front runners and then we have sort of some people in the middle of the pack, but almost everybody has a chance, and it's going to be fun seeing, you know, who takes that path to the end and wins.
I agree.
And maybe we'll see more drunk Dale in the finale.
Oh my gosh, I can't even. Last time we were here, we said Dale might be one of the most entertaining personalities to ever play College Survivor, and that was before drunk Dale. We said,
I know,
that.
I know.
Who could have known there was another evolution of Dale? We thought he was in his final form, but no. Right. So who knows what finale Dale?
I know.
Could have to offer.
It's
I love him so. I love him so much.
He's got to be College Survivor. Like, we'll be talking about Dale for years.
Oh, undoubtedly. I want to hang out with Dale. I still want to book our podcast with Dale's wife at the end of the season. But now I just want to know, like, what's it like living with Dale? Just tell me Dale stories. I just want to know more about him.
As long as we don't go to White Castle.
Oh yeah, no, that's the one caveat. Big flaw. Everybody has to have one big flaw, and his is his love for White Castle.
Exactly.
All righty. Well, we are so excited for the finale. We hope you are so excited for the finale. We have had such a good time doing the power rankings this season. So thank you for sticking with us. And we hope to continue to bring you more power rankings content on Survivor Michigan going forward. So for Paul and Joe, the power rankings guys, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye, everybody.